It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus. How you doing, everybody? What's happening? Trying to fit in as many sports as humanly possible into one show. You know what I have to talk about, Jason, at this hour as well, before Vinny gets here, or maybe during when Vinny's here? You and I, got a tour for the first time of Circa yesterday. My God.
It was very impressive.
Sweet Lord Jesus.
I can't get those TVs out of my head.
You walk in, you're like, I think I found the sports book.
Yeah. And the pool is...
The pool's ridiculous. We'll get into it.
Can
we do the podcast from the pool? Can we make that our thing?
That is my plan. I don't know if anybody else agrees with it or not, but that is my plan.
Yeah, man. Let's do that. Let's figure out our cabana. Just do it from out there.
It couldn't get better than
Megapod. Be great. Let's talk a little UFC. UFC 254. Not a little UFC. Let's talk. Let's get into this with a gentleman who I think I have the pleasure of talking with twice today. Not only this morning, but also I believe on primetime action on MSG Plus tonight with Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, and Danielle Alvari. It's Jordan Sherwood, host of the main event on ESPN West Palm. You can follow him on Twitter at WoodOn1063. Good morning to you, Jordan. How are you, man?
Yeah, doing well, Gil. Yeah, looking forward to right now and later on tonight. So double jeopardy, if you will, for us.
Yes.
Talking UFC 254.
Well, let's just start with it. Khabib Nurmagomedov, Justin Gaethje. It's minus 358 on Khabib, and it's plus 275 back here, courtesy of BetMGM, on Gaethje. What is? I'll tell you what my thinking, and I'm just randomly, anecdotally talking with my buddies. What we were thinking the whole time, and I'm here to have you talk me off of this, is wait as long as humanly possible. Wait for money to come in on Gaethje. We're already making an assumption there, right? And then at muted price, go in on Khabib. What do you think of that strategy, and do you caution me?
No, I don't caution you at all. The odds are ridiculous right now. The fact that Justin Gaethje is a bigger underdog heading into this fight compared to Dustin Poirier when he fought Khabib Nurmagomedov, compared to Conor McGregor when he fought Khabib Nurmagomedov. This is the toughest test to date for Nurmagomedov because he's taking on a guy with multiple skill sets and multiple ways to win the fight. And this will be the best grappler, best wrestler that Nurmagomedov has ever faced in the UFC. So right now as it stands, when people ask me about fights and advising on fights, and it's not like other sports, like you got to pick winners in the UFC. Maybe there's value here or there on a certain fighter, but typically you got to, at the end of the day, who's going to get their hand raised? And Nurmagomedov should get his hand raised. He is a one of a kind athlete, a guy that's a runaway freight train, and really no one has ever solved the riddle. But at current price right now, public money is for sure going to come in on Gaethje. But at the end of the day, I don't see how, even with his skill set, he can likely solve the riddle that is Khabib Nurmagomedov.
By the way, you said something there which I want to emphasize, because there's going to be some people here who listen who are like, what do you mean value is value? And they like to, and we preach it all the time that value is value. But, you know, like you take an old school bookmaker like Chris Andrews behind me, who runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook, and he's the first person he says, you know, Gil, you know how we judge good gamblers? They win. It's not about getting the best of the number, right? Which people always like talk about, and we talk about it a lot. But yeah, sure. At the end of the day, this sport may be more succinctly than others. You just want the guy who's going to get his hand raised. Do you believe Daniel Cormier when he says he thinks that wins against, if Nurmagomedov wins against Gaethje here, maybe it's St. Pierre and then Dunzo forever?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think 30-0 is an elusive number, and Nurmagomedov has a great chance to do it. I think that he talked about retiring at that number. Could change a little bit. Obviously, this is his first fight camp without the presence of his father, who unfortunately passed away a couple of months ago. So certainly he's got a heavy heart, and Nurmagomedov does, coming into this fight. And he might say, well, you know, 29-0. But I'll tell you this, a fight against GSP is huge for him financially, is huge for his legacy. And quite honestly, I think it's a very winnable fight for him against a guy in GSP. And I don't even know what weight class it would be at if GSP is going to try and get down to 155 in a weight he's never fought before. So I agree with Daniel Cormier's assessment. But it's a tough task against Justin Gaethje, you know, particularly with how he looked his last time out. I was on VSiN, and I predicted Tony Ferguson to win the fight. I was dead wrong with how just tentative and cautionary that Justin Gaethje was, because he's normally just a bullet right out of a gun and he tries to kill you or be killed. He was patient and he was a counter fighter and he was brilliant in that fight. He does that similar game plan against Nurmagomedov. He's got a chance just because of cardio and his wrestling background, you know, all American wrestler. And he's got knockout power in all limbs, not just the right and the left hand, but he could leg kick you to death. So that's why, again, I opened up with you, Gil, is like plus 275. That's value on Justin Gaethje, but I do believe Nurmagomedov does get his hand raised at the end of the day.
And of course, we're talking about the unified UFC lightweight title in this one from Abu Dhabi. It's Gil Alexander. It's Jordan Sherwood right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo Sling and Game Plus, talking UFC 254. I won't ask you to go through the entire card because we'll talk tonight, and I'm sure Matt and Danielle and Kelly will have other ones to ask you about. Before we go to your, I'll just ask you for your other two ones that you want to talk about today on the undercard, maybe the co-main. Any other market you would bet in the main event besides just the outright?
I think you'd look for the, I definitely think you look for the prop at over 2.5, over 3.5. I think the play is Habib via decision. I think that based on, again, the formula to get Justin Gaethje to the ground, the fact that he's going to come from a great camp, Trevor Whitman's going to have him ready. He's been training with Kamaru Usman, who, you know, the welterweight champion of the world, outstanding wrestler. And I just think that there's going to be enough in the gas tank by Justin Gaethje for just Nurmagomedov to have to roll out, you know, and dominate and win via decision. So the play for me in this fight is Nurmagomedov via decision.
Oh, okay. Let's mark that down. Mark that down, Jason. All right. So I have, you know, again, just anecdotally hearing this, I'm curious if you agree. Not the sexiest, not the best full card in the history of UFC, understatement. But what do you like best other than the co-main event? What are give us two others that you really feel strongly about?
Well, hopefully we get it, because now we're hearing rumors that Ian Kutelaba, the Hulk, one of his corner men, has tested positive for COVID-19.
No.
And that fight may be off for literally the third time. You know, those guys fought in February. It was controversial stoppage. You know, Kutelaba looked like he was out on his feet. He wasn't, against Ankalov. They've been booked three other times. It's falling through. I mean, that fight will be bonkers for as long as it lasts. And hopefully they get the cage door closed. If they can just find a way to get the cage door closed, that'll be great, especially because, you know, Ankalov is a guy that's perceived to be a pretty big time prospect in the light heavyweight division. We just haven't been able to see him fight. New champion in that division. So that interests me a heck of a lot, you know, seeing what happens there. And it's going to go under the radar, but Casey Kenney and Nathaniel Wood, I don't know why this fight's not on the main card. It's an outstanding fight with two prospects. It's a catchweight fight. But both guys you recently fought, recently won, should be a great fight. Probably goes on the over in that fight as well. And I do see Casey Kenney getting his hand raised in that fight, but should be a great fight nonetheless.
Okay. Jordan, I don't want you to get sick of me. So we'll talk again tonight on the MSG Plus side, primetime action, 7 to 10 PM Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific. Last 2 hours of which are right here on Sirius XM channel 204. I'm pumped. You're getting me excited. So again, in closing, my strategy, not the worst thing you've ever heard in the world. Just wait it out. Best price on Khabib.
You're going to see a lot of action coming on Justin Gaethje at that price. Wait on Habib and then snag him when that money goes down.
I like it. Jordan, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Talk to you soon.
You too. Jordan Sherwood, everybody, host of the main event on ESPN West Palm. Twitter handle again, WoodOn1063. WoodOn1063. Check him out on Twitter as well. So we'll do double duty with him, and we'll get into some of these other fights tonight on the television side. You betting that, Jason?
Probably.
I think, let me put it this way. Matt Brown, who's my co-host on Primetime Action, he is, like, I don't want to say all in, but he thinks he's going to just dump the account in on Khabib. But again, you just got to wait for it. You can't do it at this price.
He's just going to take him to win. He's not going to do inside the distance or via decision. He's just going on Khabib.
Yeah, that I don't know. Yeah. Jordan likes the decision. That's the bet he advocated there. I'm not sure, but yeah, I'll get the word on that. But it's definitely wait for the price to come down. Yeah. Wait for everybody likes the underdog, you know, everybody likes to bet the underdog, Gaethje, and then wait for that to come down and then just pound Nurmagomedov.
That's probably what I will do too then.
Yeah, I think that's the way. And that's the only fight Matt is going to be betting on UFC 254 on the entire card.
I might put some on Cannoneer, if that's how it's pronounced.
Hmm.
That's who Adesanya called out after his last fight, so I'm thinking that's who Adesanya wants to fight. Maybe that's who he thinks is going to win.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Andrew Bell. Bell, Andy Bell. New listener. Really great podcast and very informative. First time hearing about the teaser bet. Can you provide more information as I have not seen it on usual bookies? I'm not sure. Oh, that's not even for me. That's for somebody else. But what we were talking about on the podcast yesterday on the Megapod with Drew Dinsick is how, you know, we always talk about what are the most historically reliable teaser legs. It's the Stanford Wong teaser legs. Once again, quick review. Short dogs, either home or road, that are below three. So 1.5, 2, that range right there. Either home or road, tease them up through the 3 and the 7. The third that is with that group as the most reliably historical teaser legs, a home favorite of just over 7, which you can tease down through the 7 and 3. What Drew Dinsick was talking about on the Megapod yesterday, we put up a clip about this.
Yes, it tweeted out about 5 o'clock Vegas time yesterday.
Yeah,
so it's out there,
and I think it's an interesting discussion because it's debatable if it's just an aberration or if it's a thing or not a thing. What he was pointing out is for the first time last year, and I think we've spoken about this on this show. Drew and I may have even spoken about it on this show. That for the first time last year, the most common margin of victory result in NFL games was no longer 3. Last year it was 7. And this year early going also you're seeing some signs of that as well. So the question becomes, is that a new thing to talk about, or is that just a randomness of short term? Are coaching decisions, are the quirkiness of coaching decisions, let's go to that as a possible reason for it. Our coaches, and we talk about this more than anything on the show. Hey, I'm going to go for 2 up 7. Hey, we're up 6-0. I'm going to go for 2. I'm down 8. I'm going to go for 2. You know, try to make it 6 and not 7. All these different things we're seeing where coaches, you know, how many of these coaches actually know what they're doing analytically, and how many of these NFL head coaches are doing what they think to be the correct thing in the moment? I hope I do the right thing. I think I'm supposed to do this now. I hear all these analytics people. I better not get skewered tomorrow, so I think I'm supposed to do this. And how many of these coaches don't do anything consistently, right? It's like the blackjack player who sometimes they hit on 60 and sometimes they're like, no, I'm good. I'll stay.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The question becomes, because Drew was talking about it yesterday, like, hey, he's gonna tease from like a 9.5 down to a 3.5 as long as it's going through the 7. You know, he's good with it. By the way, I don't oppose it either. But what I'm saying is, I think the more broad question is that actually just, will 3 just regain its throne, basically? Because the numbers he put out were that the 3 went from NFL games went from landing on 3 15% of the time to 10% of the time. That's a pretty significant drop.
And very quickly.
Yeah.
I think the thing that started it all was the kicking rule change, and the kickers, the extra point didn't become automatic, and kickers started to miss those extra points, and I think it just started to evolve from there, because that's people started going for 2 to make up for those missed extra points.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and again, it's you know, what caused this, cause in quotes, because maybe it's just an aberrational thing. We need more time to see if it's a thing or not a thing.
But it feels like the games have changed and the scoring has changed pretty significantly over the last year or two. Like, it doesn't feel like an aberration to me. It feels like the game's just evolving.
Well, we'll need more time to get a ruling on that. By the way, that tweet, I don't think it was even for me, and I used it as a jumping off point. My bad. Let's see. Raj Bhatti. Gil, another great megapod, and also the end of an era at the D. An era. Will the Circa location have muting technology to prevent sycophant hosts from berating the intelligent, articulate, and svelte hosts?
I haven't heard the word sycophant so much in my life.
I was talking about hours. Yeah, Todd Wishnev was using that word far too often yesterday. How many times do you think he said that word? 10? Something like that.
Yeah, all within a condensed time frame.
So what Raj is referring to is that we have been privileged enough to do the podcast this year live from the D, the beautiful D in downtown Las Vegas. And he was joking about the era because we've only done it for like 4 or 5 weeks. But when Circa opens, so Circa grand opening is on Tuesday, black tie affair. We had a debate whether a black tie means a bow tie or not. Mike says, yeah, it's a bow tie. I say, and Drew and I were both like, nah, we're from California. That's not what that means. So they may turn me away at the door when I don't show up with a bow tie. But Circa yesterday, you and I were privileged. They gave us the grand tour finally. Everybody else had kind of seen it. We had not seen it. And so Bill Ady was kind enough, Brian Rogers, to give us the tour yesterday of Circa. Circa is spectacular. It is everything. It's very seldom that things live up to the hype, right? But you walk in that place and you are immediately like, this is the greatest sports book that has ever existed in the world. The screens. They've thought, Derek Stevens and Mike Palm, Derek Stevens, big shout out. There, by the way, there's the Derek Stevens commercial right now as I'm talking about this. That wasn't planned. First of all, great commercial for Circa as well. But truly, he has thought of everything, right? In all his years, he's taken notes mentally, if not actual notes about, okay, well, if I ever have my, you know, my grand plan casino, I want to make sure that this, that, and the other thing is included. And so you have this massive, these massive screens in the sportsbook, which, by the way, although, you know, you can have different screens, there's the ability for, we're talking about the indoor sportsbook now, there's the ability for it to be just one massive screen.
I cannot wait to see it like that.
So if it's the Super Bowl, right, they're not going to break off different screens. You're just going to have the largest screen I've ever, Derek can tell you, Derek and Mike can tell you the dimensions of it. But
it's bigger than a movie theater for sure.
It's not even close.
It's like you'd almost see it at a stadium like the Rams Stadium or something.
Oh, no, you shouldn't even mention movie theater. No, it's not even close. Look at those shots.
Gigantic.
And there's the VEASAN studio, Mitch and Paulie and Follow the Money. They'll be broadcasting from there Monday through Friday from that studio. It overlooks the sports book. There you see escalators right there in the sports book, right? So there's a center section of it, which is just, you know, look at that. Those are the couchier seats. Then you've got the, I guess for lack of a better term, but they're much more comfortable than stadium seating, but on the outside, they have a stadium seating. It's all in one big amphitheater. It's modeled sort of after the old Detroit Tigers ballpark, I'm told, in terms of the columns and stuff.
The way that you enter into the book itself, it gives the feeling of walking down a tunnel and into a baseball field or a stadium effect.
So cool.
It does feel that way.
I mean, look, people are going to think I'm corny, but I really said this yesterday. I almost became emotional in there. Like, seriously, because of how far, you know, just the VEASAN part of it, selfishly the VEASAN part of it, how far VEASAN had come as a network to have the privilege of being in there as well. So, you know, it's awesome. And we'll have, but here's the thing I want people to know also. We're not moving to Circa, right? So that people should know that too. Some of us are staying behind here at the South Point. We're just adding a studio to this. So yes, we will be there at Circa at some parts of the day. We are sticking here at the South Point as well because nobody has been a bigger advocate of this network than Michael Gaughan has been here at the South Point Hotel Casino and this lovely studio as well. So again, we're not moving. It's just going to be the growth of the network.
We are covered on both ends of the strip.
Yeah. We had the two pillars, South Point on one end and Circa on the other. And then there's the pool. We haven't even gotten to that. Then there's the pool. That's I didn't mean this to be like a lengthy tribute to Circa, but then there's the pool, which is what's called Stadium Swim.
Yeah, it will be quite the attraction. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. Truly.
bruh, it was ridiculous. And here's the most amazing thing about it. Yesterday when we went there, now we're talking late October at this point, mid to late October. Boy, I'll tell you, it was hot, right? I can't imagine June and July is going to be awesome there. But the screens, so it was nothing but sunshine yesterday, right? Complete clear skies. And the beauty of it, like there's some hotels around it, so it feels like that Petco Park kind of thing where other hotels are looking in also. But it was nothing but sunshine. And my biggest thing was, is there going to be like glare on the TV, on the big screens? Like, will we be able to see things clearly? You would not have any idea that it's nothing but perfect sunshine out there. Those screens were impeccable.
Yeah, screen technology has evidently come a very long way.
Wasn't that shocking to you, though? It's like, wow, yeah, these are perfection.
No glare at all.
It was beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Everybody go down there.
That's right. We'll wrap it in a bow with that.
If that wasn't enough.
Everybody go down there. It opens on Tuesday night, a big opening at Circa downtown. And then, of course, it is open for the public at midnight Wednesday morning. So the opening is Tuesday night, leads up to midnight Wednesday morning. Derek Stevens is going to walk outside at midnight and welcome everybody in. And that's how Circa is going to open. Just the coolest thing that's happened to Vegas in a long, long time. So congratulations to Derek. Congratulations to Mike Palm, who have been great. And we're not going anywhere from the South Point, too. So we love Michael Gaughan and the South Point as well. But congratulations, Derek. And Mike, everything they've done, pitch perfect. Vinny Maliulo will join us as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN. Slow jamming next, right here.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers game here at VSiN, proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. By the way, if you need to hire, you need Indeed. You instantly get a list of quality candidates from Indeed's resume database the moment you sponsor a job. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. It's Gil Alexander. Jason, we get tweets. Not if you're aware of that. At Beating the Book, people giving Adam Kramer was kind enough to join us this morning. People are giving him a very hard time. RJZ8, tell whatever producer is typing his mic is hot. He thought it was typing going on. There was not. Chris Otto, someone please steal that pen from Adam Kramer. So Adam then chimes in because Adam is aware that this is a groundswell of people who were wondering what is happening during the Adam Kramer segment. Adam chimed in and he had a good sport about it. And he said, I do not have the ability to talk and type, not that talented. So he took it all in good stride. He was great. Talk college football with Adam. We hope to do that on a weekly basis. Then a day sample size will always be king. Talking about what we were talking about. Is this a thing or is this not a thing? Talking about sevens ruling over threes last year. Here are the early going of 2020. You're not so sure. You think it's representative.
I mean, I would like to see the timing of the kicking rule and how it affected all this. But to me, all the numbers scoring started to get screwed up as soon as they moved the extra point line back.
Yeah, I think you're right. Spanky Wade, and he said this won't last. Three will always be king.
We will see.
Well, and on with these. There's a whole bunch, so appreciate everybody who tweets about everything, Beating the Book. Oh, and then folks were wondering, because we've got a lot of these, did I tweet out the podcast? Again, the Beating the Book podcast, available where all podcasts are distributed. I didn't end up tweeting it out yesterday, and Jason, our reason is, and we apologize for this, is because we got that wonderful Circa tour. Our whole day was kind of thrown back.
Yeah, everything was a little bit late yesterday.
Yeah, so we do apologize for that. It'll never happen again.
Nope. And then you should definitely want to check that clip out as well as the podcast.
Oh, the one we were talking about with the threes and the seven.
Yeah.
Can I say one more thing? Because we only have a couple minutes, then we got to take a break, and then we will bring Vinny in here for Slow Jam and his perspective from behind the desk. But So last night, the Eagles, right? We talked about it earlier, just briefly. The Eagles beat the Giants 22-21. I don't think there's much to say about it other than, boy, the NFC East is not good. This just in.
And Daniel Jones falling on his face.
Daniel Jones with what should have been an 88-yard untouched touchdown scamper.
The biggest hole I think I've ever seen in a line. Like, nobody was within yards of him.
Turf monster got him, man.
It was hysterical.
You ever done that in your life? You ever run so fast that your body weight took you over?
I actually have done that before. I was like, 7 or 8 years old when I did it.
I was going to say, have you ever done it in an NFL game on primetime television?
No.
No?
Thank goodness.
But Philly ends up winning it 22-21. What a great catch by Boston Scott on what proved to be the game-winning touchdown after the Eagles had been penalized and pushed back. But you know where I'm going with this. Survivors. This is, boy, let me tell you something. Everybody who's still alive, and I would assume there's still 353 entries alive. We don't know who picked Survivor at Circa this week yet because obviously the Saturday deadline hasn't come. But I would imagine there's a whole bunch of people who picked the Eagles last night because the Eagles were available to everybody of the 353. So I think there was a lot of escape jobs last night with the Eagles 22-21 victory. And I'm going to venture a guess that of the 353 entries left, of which I am one, nobody has gotten through, or there's very rare, if it is, it's a really small percentage that have gotten through without one major scare. Because think how many of these games last night, remember the Seattle game against the Vikings? I'm forgetting, I had the one with the Buccaneers against the Chargers. I mean, there's one of these every week. And it just seems to have worked out this year, by and large, more often than not, where the obvious survivor pick just gets by. So there's still 353 people. And I bring this up, one more survivor tool here. And I'm not sure people are aware of this because this is brand new. On the Circa Sports website, you ready for this, Jason? You know where I'm going? You know where I'm going with this?
I don't.
They have, and this will help survivor players, and we're here to educate, we're here to inform. On the Circa Sports website, they have a Circa Survivor team availability matrix. So you are now able to go in and assess what teams are available to all the current participants still alive in Circa Survivor. So, for instance, this week, you knew that 100% had the Eagles available. But you know what else? Buffalo Bills, only available to 56.1% of participants. How about that? So, not going to be as many Buffalo picks as you would imagine because 43.9% don't have it available to them. Anyway, that's on the Circus Sports website. Vinny next, Slow Jamming, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
This is the first week of a full college football schedule. We've updated the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, including all the teams from the Big Ten, MAC, and Pac-12. Get the guide plus everything VSiN has to offer for the rest of the football season for only $129. From now through February 8th, you'll get our weekly digital betting guides with pro and college football previews, that is, 24/7 live video stream, daily email updates featuring the best bets from every show host and guest. Jason, add me on baseball. I'm on the Dodgers tonight, Game 3.
You got it.
Thank you. Breaking news, advanced stats, game previews on VSiN.com. Get in the game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to get your football mid-season special today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Get your slow jams ready. Hope you have them. 1-800-KMEL-JAMS. Vinny's here. Vinny, you more of a lay your head on my pillow kind of guy, or it's your anniversary from Tony, Tony, Tony? Which is your favorite jam?
It's probably a pick'em.
Vinny Maiolio, everybody. How you doing,
What's
Vinny?
What's up, Gil? How are you? Jason?
Jason had a question here off air. Ask what it was, Jason.
Well, last night when I think it was Carson Wentz was driving in for that touchdown, it indicated that it was that he had 9 game-winning drives, and I had a whole bunch of questions about that. Would it have been a game-winning drive had the the Giants come back and kicked a field goal the other way? Was it 9 out of how many game-winning drives? Is there a game-winning drive in every game? What happens if the game-winning drive is with, like, 8 minutes to go in the third quarter?
All great questions. It is reflective of how they throw a stat out there and we're like, wow, he has that many? And you don't think about any of those things. So if the Giants had come back and kicked a field goal, I think that's the game-winning drive. I don't know, but I think it is.
I don't know either. And out of how many possibilities, nobody ever
that's
really...
That's the most interesting thing, right?
How many do they not get?
Well, yeah, because you could be like, well, player X doesn't have very many in his career because they're ahead the whole time, right? Like, so it's, yeah. Anyway, we'll do a special numbers game investigation of the game-winning drive stat.
Something to think about.
Vinny, I know your thoughts on this.
Well, listen, did you cash your ticket?
You can't really bet on game-winning drives. I mean, I think it's too vague.
If you cash the ticket, if you had the Giants, right? Carson Wentz didn't have the game-winning drive.
Did you cash the ticket? That's my Vinny. You cash the ticket or not?
It's what it always comes down to, right?
I mean, just saying.
Vinny, you were part of we walked together over the circuit yesterday from the D, and then as soon as we got in, you went ghost.
Well, I got we got to the sports book, and I had a scheduled interview with Brian Blessing, local ESPN host here in Las Vegas. So I was actually. It worked out quite well because, first of all, I got to see you and Mike Palm. You guys were doing the podcast at the D. I walked over with you guys, and we started off in the casino. Wasn't hard to find the book, was it, Gil?
I mean, the massive screen. Hey, I think I found the sports book. That's right. Can I tell you the unsung hero of the new casino? They have a delicatessen. They got a deli, Saginaw's.
Saginaw from from Michigan, from Detroit.
Yes. Yeah. Do you know what Vegas was missing? A deli. Good for them.
You know, there was a great deli years ago in Las Vegas, I must tell you, in Commercial Center.
Not anymore.
But it's no longer there. And then when Steve Wynn built Wynn Las Vegas, he had a deli.
Oh, he did.
And it was right by the sports book, actually.
Yeah. What was his friend's name? Charlie?
Charlie Meyerson. Yeah.
My friend Charlie Meyerson.
Yeah.
Steve Wynn used to just riff on Charlie Meyerson on that
Charlie
video.
Meyerson was a quintessential Las Vegas host and character, for sure.
Yeah.
Zuza Crackers.
Zuza Crackers was Charlie Meyerson.
Because that was
when Charlie
would get, like, amped up about something, he wouldn't use vulgarity. He would just go, Zuza Crackers. And he'd be, what?
Is that right? That's how he got Zuza Crackers? That's the silliest thing I've ever heard. So, wow, I didn't know
Zuza Crackers. That's his picture at the deli.
I told you. Nice man. My strange quirk, whenever I would go over there. Remember when I used to take cabs back in the day in Las Vegas, they used to have Steve Wynn on a loop in the back of the cab. And I would just roll. I would love hearing Steve Wynn so much. I'd just be like, just take me all over town so I could listen to this guy.
Right. He did all the voiceovers.
He loved doing them.
You know, it reminded me, and I had the good fortune in my career of going through several openings, renovations and things, and was part of the creation and the design and opening and operation of Wynn and Encore. I've got to tell you, it reminded me yesterday, being at Circa, it took me back to that opening because there's that buzz.
I didn't know you were part of that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I originally started as a consultant on the project. And someday I'll tell you the story about my interview with Steve Wynn.
Yeah. Do I want to hear this, Ben?
Well, I'll tell it right now. I'll get back to the... So I was consulting on a project, and as you know, where Wynn Las Vegas stands is where the Desert Inn stood for many years. And the offices... So the Desert Inn closed, and it became the office and mock-up for Wynn Las Vegas until the demolition occurred, and then we moved off-site. But wherever you went on property, there was constant activity. He saved every tree from the Desert Inn Golf Course, and there was a horticulture division. And trees were being, you know, moved around and things like that. So he was out one day testing turf, artificial turf, that was going to go in the villas areas. But, and every villa had a pool and everything. So Steve's out there. So I'm walking with Rob Oslin, who was in charge of the casino at the time, and I'm a consultant on it. He goes, come on, let's go say hi to Steve. So Steve's out there with his German shepherds and walking around. Said, how you doing, guys? Good, good. I'm taking a break from this board meeting. Oh, man, these people, I need some air. He goes, Vinny, what are you doing? What's going on? What do you think? I said, well, sir, you know, I think this is going to be the new standard, and it's going to not only reinvigorate the north end of Las Vegas Boulevard, but the entire
what were
city.
What were you going to say?
Right?
Yeah, of course.
He says, I know all of that. Said, what do you really think? I said, well, you probably best to, you know, get a bookie from Brooklyn to run your sports book. He goes, I love that. See you tomorrow. You're hired. That was my interview.
Wow.
That was my interview with
Steve
Wynn. Great. Great. But
you didn't make his video, though, Vinny. He wasn't like Azusa Crackers. And then there's my Brooklyn bookmaker, Vinny Maiolio.
It's a Wonderful Life with Zuzu Petals. Is that right?
Zuzu Crackers. Oh, Zuzu Petals were wonderful. But yesterday, Circa reminded you of
but
that.
But it reminded me of that, and here's why. Because what I look for, like if you go around here at South Point, it speaks Michael Gaughan, right? Speaks the Gaughan family, the traditions and things like that. Same, you know, when I was over there. But you go there, it's Derek Stevens and his vision. And that, I think, is something special.
Impeccably done.
Yeah.
Hope it is a just amazing success. But we're not leaving the South One. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, Vinny.
No, we're not leaving. We'll talk about that.
Okay, we'll talk about that and more. Vinny Maiolio right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It's always showtime at BetMGM Sports, where every game means something more. And if you're a new BetMGM customer, your first bet is risk-free up to $500 with bonus code VSIN500. Bet! Simply sign up and bet with complete confidence to take advantage of this offer. Start turning big plays into paydays and discover why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Download the app today. Use bonus code VSIN500 to get back up to $500 in free bets on your first wager. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia only. Please, as always, please gamble responsibly. Skill Alexander, it's Vinny Maiolio. Did you and Steve Wynn part ways ultimately because Steve realized he's like, there can't be two slow jam voices on the same property at once? And he was like, you got to go, Vinny.
No, actually.
Only I get to introduce DeBarge Records.
I actually. Well, he was in charge.
Yeah.
He had his name on the building, if you didn't notice.
He did. I noticed that. And that ad was really him sitting on the top of the building.
That was him. That was him on the original ad where he was. It was a close-up of him, and as the camera panned back, it was him sitting on the roof of the property. That was actual. That was not.
He insisted on doing that?
Yes.
Could he, and I don't mean this in any disparaging way, but was his vision so impaired that it didn't bother him?
He was just fearless about it. He just said, no, I'm not, we're not staging this.
I never would have done that.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. And it, as you, if you think, it's probably on YouTube or something.
I think it is on YouTube. Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating. So, but it did, yesterday's tour did remind me of that. And before we went to break, you reminded me, Gil, and brought up a good point. So now with VSiN expanding, not just nationally, but certainly here in Las Vegas, this studio will remain right here at the South Point.
Yeah.
And we'll still be broadcasted from here. So,
did they consult Artsis on the new studio over there, or did he not get consulted on that?
I have no idea.
It's
a good question. Where's Bill Ady?
Yeah. So I get a ruling on that. It was just awesome. And it's just beautiful. The sports book is out of control. The pool, Vinny, out of control.
Yeah. I walked out quickly, and then I had to. I had to get back. But I mean, this the detail in the property again. It's signature Derek, and the way he, the invitation where the about the grand opening and how he's got his notes written out. Now,
you could spend 3 hours with that invitation.
It's a great presentation. So
really is
good. You know, and as Jackie Gaughan used to say, it's great for Derek and Nicole and their team, and for downtown. It's good for Las Vegas. It's another Jackie Gaughan always said, if it's good for downtown, it's good for Jackie Gaughan. I mean, this is good for Las Vegas as we, you know, begin to
I was running recover. Around UNLV the other day, and I was like, oh, look, the Jackie Gaughan whatever building.
Jackie Gaughan.
What was that? The Jackie Gaughan whatever building.
Whatever building?
whatever.
I majored in whatever.
Those are for the majors of whatever. Yeah, those are whatever majors.
Like, yeah. Okay. What are people... let me ask you, because we had Jordan Sherwood on earlier. Obviously, huge UFC fight this weekend. Mm-hmm. Khabib and Gaethje. How pop... So during the pandemic, even those of us who were not necessarily MMA guys were like, yeah, I'm betting all this stuff. And you know what? I'll speak on behalf of those of us who sort of got into it for the first time. It was not the worst gambling experience because it really did kind of conform to how you felt fights would go. Sure, there was the occasional decision where you were like, okay, whatever. But not nearly as bad as boxing, in my humble opinion. So what's the kind of, now that sports have been back, it still takes a pretty big center stage this weekend, though.
It's, you know, remember, Gil, we set records during the pandemic when there was none of the four major sports. We're still in a pandemic, but during the when the four major sports were shut down, the UFC cards set records, and they were the predominant betting option by bettors at that time. So now, it also created a new group of bettors, and I want to tie in soccer to it as well, because we've always talked about this, and you in particular have brought this up, and it's an important point that there are niche bettors right there out there. Not every you as a bettor don't have to bet every game and every sport. We post as much as possible, and you can zero in. On even if it's college football, you can zero in on a conference or two, but you can also zero in on sports. So what we took from that was, well, there's an interest out there. Soccer has expanded. We carried over the soccer, more soccer, international soccer. You know, typically soccer was the MLS games and the EPL games, you know, Champions League, of course, World Cup and things like that. But you know, not nearly the amount of soccer now. Now we've got, you know, the Bundesliga. Of course, we've got Serie A with those, you know.
I understand. Yes.
For our people.
Yeah.
And La Liga, you've got more of an expanded menu. The UFC cards have more fights on them too than in the past, and have gone up earlier. So, responding to the bettors' interests by expanding the bettors' menu, but still the UFC cards are extremely popular, and for the most part, they're good. They're competitive. They're interesting. We get a lot of coverage here at VSiN with them. You know, so I think that popularity will continue, and we've got it's UFC 254.
Yes,
this weekend, and it'll continue to be popular. It's come back a little bit, but still. Better than and more interest than years past.
Where does the pro football, where does the NFL versus college football modern day handle battle lie right now? Because remember, there was a few years in there, not a few years, but you know, 2017, 2018, 2019, the groundswell of, oh, college football, it's just as popular as the NFL. Mm-hmm. We're getting more bets on, we could get more bets. And that's not the case now, is it?
Well, not quite. Simply because, well, now, I mean, we're going to get the Big Ten back this week. We haven't had the Pac-12 yet. Don't forget the Pac-12, those late games. That Saturday night game for the Pac-12 is huge. Now, we got a Friday night game.
It did feel incomplete without the West Coast games.
Yeah, because
wait a minute, the day's over?
You know, it's like, in that game, it's like the Sunday night game. It's it's the either get out or the gravy game, right?
Right.
And it's always it's on TV, and it's of course it's the Pac-12, and oftentimes it was SC, right? A lot of times, which is you know very popular school here. So let's remember that of let's say all the handle in Nevada, nearly a $5 billion a year industry. Half of it is football, and there was a time when. When I got into the industry 40 plus years ago now, it was probably about a 3 or 4 to 1 ratio NFL to college. But they came, you know, and football is again a half of what we do annually in terms of handle.
Pro and college, make
pro
half.
And college combined.
Yeah,
and they were about 50-50. This year, I would say it's down, but not that much, Gil. I mean, you know, maybe. I don't know, maybe 8% or so, I would say. But again, I think as we get into the fact now with the Pac-12 to come, the Big Ten starting this weekend, I'm curious to see if there's a consideration to expand the playoff this year.
We were just talking about that with Adam Kramer.
Okay.
And he was saying, if you ever had a year to make it 8, this is that year.
Well, listen,
but we then took a beat and said, okay, they should and they could, but will they? And he was like, nah.
Well,
probably
yeah.
Not.
I don't know. I would certainly advocate it because we've seen that one of the contributing reasons for the jump at college to get closer to the NFL is the playoff. I mean, those playoff games do NFL playoff game business.
That'd be so sweet.
Now, listen, think about this. If you're the NCAA, you're looking at every professional league expanded the playoffs this year and to great success. If you're kicking the idea around, this is the year to give it some consideration, especially with the imbalance of games.
Yeah.
And two of those of the Power Five conferences are not going to have the same number of games.
And we can use if we just step back. I mean, think about how we had those 4.5-5 months of virtually nothing,
yeah.
And then we got. Basketball and hockey
sure.
back. We got baseball back.
Right.
College football and the NFL. College football
record
staggered.
August and September handle.
And October just right. fabulous too. And now we finally got to the point, and baseball will clear here within a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now we finally got to the point where it's like, okay, wow, that was fun. And now we have college and pro football. We have the Masters still to come,
Masters
and I guess the
November.
Breeders' Cup if you're into
Breeders
that sort
Cup,
of thing.
Sixth and seventh, right? Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're into that sort of thing, Ben.
Yeah, sure. You got to be. Good.
But like a college football playoff feels like we need it.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it otherwise there we sort of like it's just college football into whatever it's going to go into a very rote Final Four, if you will, standard.
Yeah, and again, why not? This is the year to get it to do it. Think about the TV ratings and revenue, right? I mean, that's so. I'm not going to discount. Listen, anything's possible. This is the year for for anything's possible.
Yeah,
right.
Totally. I would love it. It would be tremendous. So the biggest bet game this week is we're going through the BetMGM grid. Green Bay, their entire across jurisdictions, the Green Bay Packers is the most bet team against the number ticket-wise. What about here?
I think, you'll see that. I think Steelers-Titans game is going to be a very popular game as well, right? Buccaneers, once the Raiders get back on the board here, hopefully they do play this week, but they're still holding up
on
that.
You heard
game.
What the story was? So we're gonna find out Sunday morning with Test, but even if they come back positive and the Raiders don't have their offensive lineman, according to Diana Rossini over at ESPN,
the
league says it's not a competitive disadvantage. That's like the weirdest thing this morning.
Oof.
So, again, that's the biggest thing we can leave with people who are thinking about what contest picks they're going to make this weekend or what bets. You got to hold off on that game right now.
I think so.
Because you have no idea.
You have no idea.
On the other hand, if you want the Bucks at a current price, maybe you take the gamble on it. So there is that.
Well, again, it's got to be open to
Bet.
To bet it.
Wherever you can find it. Thank you,
we'll
Benny.
Get there.
Appreciate it.
Good to be with you.
Good luck with everything tonight, including baseball, from all of us at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.